I'd like to take a brief moment to introduce to you our new Director of Youth Ministry with us just a couple weeks, and boy, she's had a lot to take on in 2 weeks. Helene Faust is with us. Most recently, she served for 6 years at the Indiana Conference Office as a resourcing person and consultant to churches across the state of Indiana who are striving to grow their ministry to young people. She's also been a part of the development teams that have designed youth and confirmation curriculum for the United Methodist Publishing House. Prior to that, she served about 6 years in local churches as a youth minister. But more importantly, you need to know her family. She has a husband, Jesse, and she has wonderful daughters, Hannah, whom you just heard from, and Emma. So before she brings to us a gospel message this day, could we please welcome her with a warm round of applause?
Thank you. So, 2 weeks, Youth Sunday on the agenda. I don't know how fair that is, but has it been a good morning so far? Thank you to our students who've shared so bravely already and who've sung so beautifully and instructed our children. We are raising the next generation of young people, not just to serve when they're older, but today, every day. Amen? So I understand that, you know, because I'm standing here, I get to invite you to something. I get to give a little promo. I want to invite you to our youth ministry open house, which is this Tuesday, beginning at 6:30. You don't have to be a youth or a youth parent to come. You just have to care about youth ministry. At the open house, you will learn how you can serve and how you can continue to say yes and raise up the next generation of young people as committed followers of Jesus Christ. And so we'll overview the program. We will talk about some dreams for the children and youth in our community, and then we'll invite you to sign up to serve. Don't let that scare you, because as you can see outside, there is a whole board of opportunities, and some of them, most of them, don't include teaching teenagers. And so I invite you after the service, we'll close with prayer when we're done, and I will invite you to go take a look at that board outside. If you love Pinterest and decorating, we have a job for you. If you are someone who can sew, someone who can do, you know, fix stuff and guy stuff, that's probably not appropriate to say, but you know what I'm talking about. We have stuff for you to do. We need people praying behind the scenes, helping with curriculum. There is so much work, and we are a congregation that is so blessed with people who are capable and gifted in so many ways, and that excites me because I have never served in a church that loves Jesus this much and is gifted this much, and so every day for the last couple of weeks, I've been thanking God for this place and for these people, and I've only had a chance to meet maybe 30 of you. So can you imagine what things will be like in a couple of months when we all know each other pretty well? That's a pretty, I guess, high goal, right? To know each other pretty well in just a couple months. We'll get there. So that plug is done. And this is Youth Sunday. There is a say yes. There are balloons up here. I want you to know that nobody is being proposed to today. Although if you are planning a proposal and you think that these balloons would be really helpful, see me after service, at the 11 o'clock service, and I will give them to you. If you're even thinking about proposing, the balloons are purchased. But Youth Sunday, and what does saying yes to our students mean for Carmel United Methodist Church? I want us to really begin to think about that. So I'm going to start our message with prayer. And I'm going to ask for the Lord to speak to all of you through my words and his words. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for being with us. We feel your presence and we anticipate your work in our hearts and minds as we share in this message this morning. Lord, fill us with an overwhelming sense of responsibility to reach the next generation with your message, with your love, and with your grace. Lord, we understand that there are so many different ways to do that. And so I ask that you speak to each person here today and help them to remember who it was that led them closer to you, and help them to be inspired to do the same thing for a child or a teenager in our congregation. And Lord, bless my ministry with these people. Help me to love and to serve the way that you call me to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share a little bit about me so that you understand my passion for youth ministry and why I believe it's so important. And so to begin with, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, I'm going to share a story with you that for a very long time, I was afraid to share with the church because I was afraid that people would think badly of me because of my history and where I came from. But my hope here this morning is that you will not see the person that I talk about, that you will see a person who has been restored and redeemed and changed by our Savior Jesus Christ. And so there's a picture. I want to show it to you. There's me. This is one of the only pictures that I have of me when I was a child. And as you can see, I'm not very happy. And I was told that I'm not smiling in this picture because I never really smiled when I was a kid. And it wasn't that I was terrified of Santa. And I probably should have been extremely excited because that year I got more presents from this Santa Claus than I ever received in my entire life. But I was a kid that did not know joy. Are you ready? I grew up in a bar. I am a child of two parents who loved me the best that they could, but they struggled with alcoholism, and they struggled with living a life that was attached to the mafia, a life of crime. And I need to back up. I grew up in a town called Trumbull, Connecticut, which was a suburb of Bridgeport, Connecticut. And in that Bridgeport, Connecticut, there were a lot of bars that were owned by my mafia godparents. And I tell you this so that you understand part of why I believe youth ministry is so powerful. I don't think that that is glamorous or good in any way. In fact, for a long time, I was ashamed of my upbringing. So for fun, when I was a child, I didn't play with friends. It was me and my brother, the two of us together. And every day until we started school, we spent the entire day in bars with piles of quarters so that we can play video games. I'm really good at pinball because of that. I hate pinball, but I'm really good. When we weren't playing video games or eating pizza, we were dancing on the same stage that some of the exotic dancers danced on in the evenings. And that was my life. And I watched adults make horrible mistakes and experienced a lot of pain because of that. And it impacted my life in ways that were beyond my control. And so fast forward a little bit to, I think I was about 9, and I really had this desire to know who God was. I have heard nothing good about God growing up. Everything was, and nothing good about Christians. Christians were hypocrites and thieves and liars and people that I should probably stay far away from. And that's what my parents taught me about Christians. And so when I became interested in knowing more about God, 9-year-old me, walked probably 3 or 4 miles to a library to find out about God. It's important for you to know that across the street from the library was a church. And I was a pretty smart kid. But the church was the last place I was going to go to find out about God, because everything that I learned about the people that followed him was wrong, was negative. And so I asked the librarian for books on spirituality, because that was a word that we would have used in Connecticut, and she gave me a pile of books on witchcraft. We were in New England. So I read some of those books, and they terrified me, and they did not lead me closer to God. Fast forward a little bit more. 13-year-old me. By age 13, I was struggling with alcoholism. I had older boyfriends, and I was looking for love in all of the wrong places. I knew that I wanted love. I had no idea what real love was. And so I met a friend, and her name was Kim Stevens. I think Kim is watching this morning. So if you are there, Kim, hello. Kim lives in Connecticut. Actually, she moved back to her hometown with her family. So Kim, when I met her, I thought she was really weird because she was a Christian. She was the real deal kind of Christian, the one that prayed at lunchtime, and she was generous and kind, and she had a great reputation in our school because she was, for lack of better words, good. She was fair. She followed Jesus every day. And when she met me, I'm convinced that she knew how bad I needed to know Jesus Christ. And so she invited me over to her house. She lived right down the street. I rode my bike, came over after school, and her parents were there, and that terrified me because I was the type of kid that parents hated because I might mess up their kid. I ran away. I didn't get good grades. I was a hot mess. When I walked into their home, they were there waiting for me. And the feeling that I felt when I walked in there still gives me chills. It was an undeniable sense of love in that family, an undeniable sense of the Holy Spirit that provided that love in that family. And so instead of being looking at me like I might mess up their daughter, they looked at me like I was a child of God. And that was the first time I ever experienced that. And it felt good. And it felt powerful. And before I knew it, I was over their house every day learning everything I could about Jesus and Scripture. And I asked questions, hard questions. Maybe some of them seemed silly, but they never made me feel like that. And their home became a place where I can experience rest. Soon I decided to go to church with them, and it was hard for me to actually to see God in that congregation. It was a very large church, and the preaching was excellent. The music was really cool, but aside from the Stevens family, I didn't really know anybody, and so sitting there, I just felt like insignificant, not welcome. Nobody really said hi. And so I actually didn't really like to go to church. And in fact, I loved being with the Stevens family and having conversations. But going to church, I kind of made excuses sometimes. And Mrs. Stevens said, "I know you don't know how to worship yet. I just want you to know. Will you please still come?" And over time, I developed a heart to worship. But it wasn't until some members in the congregation reached out to me and said, "Hey, we've noticed that you've been coming here. We'd like to get to know you better," that I actually felt like I belonged. Do you guys think that there's a difference between being, even being a member, right, and belonging? It's like, I'm a member here. And that's a good thing. But being able to say, "I belong here," gives you a confidence. And when you step in that door, to know that you can just be you and the people are going to love you anyway. So probably in about, you know, it took a while. So I accepted Christ and all of that with the Stevens family, but it really wasn't until I was in high school that I really understood what being a Jesus follower meant. Now, I was doing it right. I agreed to follow Jesus, which is what Jesus' first disciples did, right? They agreed to follow Jesus, to learn everything they could. They were completely clueless sometimes, as was I, but they still continued to follow. And all along, Jesus was telling them the stuff that really matters. That's discipleship. And then, eventually, Jesus' followers decided that they were going to do something with all of that knowledge, and they, when they accepted the Holy Spirit into their lives, that's when stuff got crazy, right? And so for me in high school, when I accepted the Holy Spirit into my life, that's when I decided that I moved from being a follower of Jesus to a servant of Jesus. And my life changed forever. So you heard that I have a husband and some really awesome kids. My husband is awesome too. He is my partner in ministry. And I don't think that I could ever do youth ministry the way I do without him. So if you see Jesse, he's really tall. He has on a cute outfit that I picked out for him. And he's all bald. Say hi to him and welcome him, because he's awesome, and he's going to be a great asset here for youth ministry as well. But because of Kim Stevens and her family, and because of the prompting of the members in the church, I felt like I belonged for the first time in my life, where I struggled so hard to feel that feeling. And I think about our children and teenagers today, and we have some awesome children and teenagers in our congregation. But I think beyond the walls of our congregation, let's just say we'll think about Carmel High School, where there are 5,000 high schoolers. So if statistics are correct, even in Carmel, Indiana, where the Bible and scripture and church are still somewhat part of our culture, very few of our teenagers are following Jesus. And that means that they are going through life, and life is really hard as a teenager today, without the assurance that they are loved and valued by our Creator God and by the people in this community that are willing, this community, this faith community, that are willing to stick with them when life is really hard. So, but then let's just think about our teenagers. Oh, here's a picture. Show them the picture of the people that led me to Jesus. That's the Stevens family, Mr. and Mrs. Stevens. Aren't they cute? Not too young, are they? I want you to know that if you're sitting here today and you think youth ministry is for younger people, people with energy, I'm not very cool, so if that was the criteria here, you guys hired the wrong one. And I'm not very young either. But I think in all of the churches that I've worked with over the last 6 years, that's been the common response. Well, we can't really serve with teenagers because we just feel disconnected, and it's been a really long time since we've had teenagers even, right? But these people changed my life because they loved Jesus, and they knew that I needed to know him. And they weren't willing to let any barriers come in the way, right? They were dead set on making sure that I succeed. One more thing about them. So they first question that they asked me, they're like, we love you, we believe in you, we know things are hard, how can we help you? What goal do you have? That was the first time in my life that anybody ever asked if I had a goal. In fact, my teachers probably thought that I wouldn't graduate high school. And so I was struggling. I'm like, help me out. What should I say? And they just said, well, what about school? And so I said, okay, well, it would be really great to just, finish school. And I was an F student when I said that. And by the time I graduated, I was an all AB student. And the B only because I got sick and messed up. But really, the love that they shared with me changed everything about me. So let's talk about kids that are in our church walls. So, and church is pretty, they get really excited about these statistics. Let's look at them together. So 65% of all American young people report making a commitment to Jesus Christ at some point in their lives. Now, when I look at 65%, I just, you know, part of me is like, okay, so that's kind of a low number when you consider all the churches there are in the world, especially in Indiana. But then let's look at this stat. Only 3% of these young people have a biblical worldview by the time that they graduate high school. Are you guys numbers people? 65%. Okay, so that means our kids, our church kids, when they graduate from high school, only 3% will have a biblical worldview. So that means that everything that we've done in the church somehow didn't help them make that connection. It means that we may have been a little bit too, and I'm not talking about our church. We have an amazing history of youth ministry here. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It means that at some point we left out discipleship and had way too much fun. I believe that we can combine the two and have an awesome time. But if we do not focus on raising the next generation of young people as followers of Christ, what do you think happens to that 3% in 4 years from now? Our psalm today, we have to be serious about sharing the stories with the next generation so that they can what? Pass it on to the next generation. And so some churches today thought, well, we'll increase those numbers and we will hire people to take care of our young people. We'll hire people to take care of our young people. That's not the way the church was designed. God never intended for ministry to be operated by staff people. He intended for the whole church to raise up the next generation. I see some awkward shifting, so stay with me, right? So I'm thankful that I'm here, and I'm thankful that I have a job, but at the same time, I don't think that my job is just to entertain our young people. I believe that our job, my job, is to equip the congregation, parents, grandparents, friends, aunts, uncles, all of you, to raise up the next generation of young people as committed followers of Jesus Christ. One more stat, and then I'm going to share some scripture with you. 70% of children who grow up in our churches disconnect. They decide that a relationship with God does not make a difference, that church does not make a difference. And the biggest influencer in that is that even with mission trips being so amazing, that they have not been able to see the power of God at work in everyday life. We can have mission trips and fuel up and be excited, yay, Jesus, come back. If we do not continue to live and grow and serve together as followers of Jesus Christ, and we wait for that next trip, we're not going to make an impact for the kingdom in our everyday life, right? We're going to get distracted. Our priorities are going to get a little messed up. It'll be a lot easier to sleep in because we're not seeing the difference it makes. When we're in relationship with each other, intergenerational relationships, the whole church coming together to be the church, that changes everything. So let's read some scripture together. And while I read, I want you to listen to who God is talking to. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign to your hand. Fix them as an emblem of your on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord. He brought you out of slavery. Who's that message for? All of Israel, right? Which means everyone. A lot of times people will read this scripture. In fact, it shows up in children's ministry catalogs everywhere. It shows up in parent ministry conferences. And people will relate this scripture to parents. But it's not just for parents. It's for grandparents and friends and neighbors and church members, everybody here, that we have to be diligent about our ongoing conversation with the next generation. And that walking, talking, on the way to school, serving in the kitchen, wherever it is that we go, that conversation continues. And it's really easy for the church to look out at parents today and say, you're the primary faith influencers in your child's home. That's what all the books say. We have to take the next step, because primary faith influencer can be a really great thing or a really bad thing, right? In my life, in my house, when I was growing up, that was not a good thing. My parents influenced me to not want to have anything to do with the church, with God, with Christians, right? Kim's parents influenced her to love the Lord with all her heart and all her soul and all her strength, and to go out and tell the story to everyone she could. And that's why I'm here today, because of that. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a cool story. So when I decided to follow Jesus, I was really mad at my family for leading me so far away from Jesus. I was cocky, I was rude, I was disrespectful in every way, and I used faith to injure them. What do you think that did? Farther and farther away. It wasn't until I decided to serve Jesus with my life, it wasn't until I decided to allow the Spirit to transform me, that my parents began to know the difference. When I started to transform through the power of the Holy Spirit, my love for my parents changed. My love for myself and the people around me changed. And the people noticed that. My mom noticed that. And so probably about 10 years ago, she accepted Jesus into her life for the very first time. And because of that, her life is incredibly different now. In fact, she's pretty passionate about saying yes to the next generation. And she has a story to tell about his transformation. When we say yes to the next generation, when a whole church commits to raising up committed disciples of all ages, really, the Holy Spirit enters into our place and fuels us up to continue the work of Jesus Christ. One more scripture, and then we're going to close with prayer and sing and pray some more. I want to read Can we read this together? Because it's pretty important. It's up on the screen. It's Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." That's good news, church, right? It's really good news. So Jesus invites us to be in relationship with him. He invites us to learn everything that we can. So that what? We can go and reach people with his love and mercy and truth. And I believe that the world today really, really misses that, right? If you look at the news, if you watch, you heard our youth stories today, that transformation, that going from, I once did not know who God was, or I once didn't experience God's power through prayer, or I once did not feel God's presence in my life. I once wondered, what is the point of even living? And then Jesus stepped in because someone introduced me to him, and that changed everything. What does say yes mean? Say yes means that every single one of us has to take our faith seriously. We have to live an ongoing, walking, talking, growing, every single day relationship with Christ. That will change us. It'll change our priorities. It'll change our reactions. We won't be so judgy of that person sitting next to us because we're going to look at them differently. We're going to believe that they need to know Jesus. And that will fuel us to go. Go and reach the next generation with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make it easy on you to serve. I promise. You're going to have job descriptions. You're going to have supplies, clear instructions, lots of support and prayer. Don't let anything come in the way of you saying yes to the next generation. I believe that with God's help, this church can be known as the place where teenagers and children can come and be loved no matter what. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for every person here. Lord, for the way that you have shaped their story. Lord, we thank you for the people that have not yet come here yet. Give us the desire to go and reach them. Our neighbors, our families, the people that we sit at work with, all of the students in our schools. Lord, help us to see them the way that you do and to reach out with them with your love and grace and mercy and truth. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love so that we can say yes to the next generation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.